Who was that? Was that you, Tom?
No.
But anyway, I think you got me one other one. But I'm, okay. I got another one I'll wear in a week or two, probably for Sunday morning where all the staff comes. And the only ones that know about that is my family and Tammy. Keep it to yourself. John and Ola get back from their trip to Ireland tomorrow. I'm sure they have lots of stories to share. So when you see them next week, say something like this. Happy morning to you. See what they say when they answer, okay? Everybody got that? You have to have a little slur to it. This is the first year this is ever going to happen. And I'm going over some good things because I want to get to a bad thing that turned into a good thing in me. But this year, I'm going to have all my 20 grandkids here at camp with me. Isn't that amazing? So out of 180, one out of every nine is a grandkid. But anyway, that's... Yes, I've given up, and anyway, I'll work on that after camp. One of my grandkids from New York State. I heard this week that they might come down, but they're not sure. And by the end of the week, something happened that convinced this one grandkid to come down. So they went to school. They were still having school this week. They just finished up. I think it was Friday. Crazy, huh? Nice shirt, Charity. But they went to school the last day, and this friend ran up to one of my grandkids and said, "You got to come with me this summer. You got to come with me." And the grandchild said, "Come where?" "There's this neat camp down in Pennsylvania. It's called Kids Camp. Why don't you come along with me?" And she said, "You're going to Kids Camp? My grandpa and aunt and uncle, Micah and Esther, run that camp. Well, you've got to come. You've got to come. Maybe we could be in the same team." How's that for publicity? So she decided by the end of the week, yes. And I said, I was trying not to do that. She said, "Yes, I'll come down with you." So isn't that pretty neat? That God has people stationed all over the area to help attract kids to Kids Camp. Obviously, the greatest thing that happened this week was something I've been praying for over 30 years. You know, when my four kids were growing up, Jeremy might have been maybe 10, 11, on down. Amelie, you must have been probably three or four. We piled them in the truck, in the van, and took them all down to D.C. to the pro-life rally in Washington. And there's a picture of it out there on the bulletin board, special memory. And probably more so than anything I've ever prayed for as a pure Christian, when I finally gave in, was that God would wipe this Roe versus Wade out of our country. And he did. That is just amazing. Amazing. And it's going to result in literally millions of kids being saved. But sometimes, you ever have a bad day? Anybody ever have a bad day other than me? Rick, you have to have some bad days, don't you? No, no. Okay, then you don't get to be included in the group. Bonnie, you can be included in the group. I'm going to read a little poem in a few minutes, and Joe, you'll be able to relate to this poem. And Paul, you can relate to this poem. And Ken, you'll be able to relate to this poem. Marty, you'll be able to relate to this poem. kind of guessing where I'm going. It's over the 60 crowd. But anyway, I'll share this poem in a little bit. But I got up Wednesday morning, and I didn't have anything I had to do. That's a rare thing lately. So I decided I was going to come over and work a little bit on getting things installed for Marsh to finally get her shower in her cabin after 3 years of asking. So, and I just can't do what I could do 10 years ago. Rick, he's another story, but I can't sometimes. And sometimes I just don't want to stop trying. You do that, Marty. And I was back there working on the shower area, and I had to get down. I can't get down on my knees, and that's in the palm too. But so I sit on this bank, digging with a hammer to put the block in for the footers, and I was hammering that dirt and rock to get a nice clear, clean, level area. And I fell and tumbled down into the cabin, and oh, I was hurting. But and you know, if you probably do this, Marty, if you get down, you always have a chair that you can grab onto to help get you up. There wasn't anything there, so I don't know how long it took me, several minutes, to finally get back up, and I worked some more. And I fell the second time. I got up and said, not today. I walked off the job for the first time in my life and got in my truck and went home. And I was kind of discouraged. I was sore. And that night, Marcy found this little poem in a book that was her sister Terry's, that when she lived with us before she moved back to Washington State, she left some belongings there, and one was a book, and one was included, had a poem in there from her Aunt Kitty. She was a special lady. She's with Jesus now. I got to spend some time with her from western Montana, almost to the border, Canadian border, but she wrote this. Are you ready, Marty? Once I was young, but now I'm not. My body is wrinkled, both knees are shot. I forget where I'm going when I head down the hall. I can't hear what they're saying, and sometimes I fall. But God gave me this life. I can't waste what is left. Though I think that right now I should go get some rest. So some of us can relate to that, right? So I walked off the job. First time in 67 years, second time I walked off a job, but that's another story. Walked off the job and went home. I was kind of discouraged and hurting. And I got home, I took a shower, they washed all the dirt off of me from rolling down the hill twice. And I fell asleep in a chair. And when I woke up, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later, a verse popped into my mind. And it wasn't something I was thinking about. I'm gonna read this verse. We're gonna talk about it a little bit and see how God turned that day around. It's from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And it reads like this: For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. There is so much there. That could be several sermons in itself. Repentance. How many of you ever had a conviction like, I might have to just repent of a rotten attitude. And I knew that was me to a big degree that day. Rotten attitude. And rest, you'll be saved. I'm glad I walked off. I might have not been saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. And what I knew I had to do is I just needed to get alone with God, quiet myself, and allow Him to minister to me once again. You'd think pastors don't need ministering to after 45 years. If you do think that, you're wrong. Because I still need it too, just like the rest of us. And so I read that verse and it ministered to me, encouraged me. And then I said a short little prayer. I've said prayers like this most of my life as a Christian. I gave in to God in Alaska when I was 19. And I got this from King David in the Bible. He was always doing this, saying short little prayers and then quieting yourself to listen. So this was the quiet and short prayer. It goes something like this. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. Nothing special. You're just asking God, speak to me. Now, I've never heard an audible voice. And I might never hear that. But you know, when you're close to God, and anybody can be close to God, all of you can be. We're as close to God as we want to be. That's the bottom line. And so for me, when I ask a question, a short one like that, I really do want and I expect and anticipate God putting some thoughts up here, whether in my heart or my soul or my head, I don't know, but they come when you ask. If you're learning to listen. And so, God, speak to me. I'm listening. And He said about three different things to me that turned my whole day around, my lousy attitude around. The first one was this. You need a fresh surrender. I need a fresh surrender. What does that mean? I usually turn this so I can look at everybody's eyeballs in case they start falling asleep. Matt, I couldn't see yours. Now I got you. Yes, I can see you, Bonnie. As long as Micah keeps his head that way. No, don't change. I need a fresh surrender. I knew what he meant. And what he meant was, sorry, Matt. What he meant was, you need to give your life back to God again. Instead of trying to hold on and make things work and do it your way, I need to just say, I give up. I'm yours. Do with me as what you want. If you want me to roll down the hill and smack my body into that cabin, I don't know why. Maybe you were trying to get my attention for something. But I surrender to you again. So I got that off my back. And then another thought came. Change your focus. Change your focus from problems that you can't physically do to ready the camp. You hear what God was trying to say to me? Change my focus. What my focus was all these jobs that needed to be done. And I don't mind doing them. Usually I enjoy them. I love carpenter work. I love building things like that. But I just can't do that much anymore. And so change your focus. Change your focus from problems that you can't physically do for readying the camp. And then that half, the extra half, to the 180 plus kids. Now, when we had God spoke that to me Wednesday. We had 160. Now it is almost 180. It'll probably go beyond that, and it is the plus. So change your focus to the 180-plus kids that I'm going to bring to your backyard. Can you see what God is trying to do in me? Sometimes we all have to change our focus. And sometimes we all have to roll down the hill and smack our head into a cabin to get our attention to do it. But whatever it takes, God, change our focus if it needs changed. So, okay, God, I see you adjusting, changing my focus. And then he asked another question. What do these 180 kids need? I'll give you the religious thing that came to my mind. Well, they need Jesus. He wasn't going to let me off the hook. Be more specific. Isn't that like God sometimes just gets in your face and wants you to be specific about the things you need to be praying about? And for me, be more specific. And then he started putting some thoughts in my mind, and there were three things that came to my mind. The specific things. Number one, give them hope in a hopeless world. You see how that wise that was from God? Give those 80 kids hope because they're living in a hopeless world. Hopeless societies, maybe a hopeless family. We have some pretty rough kids coming every year that don't have a mom and dad that know Jesus, and they need hope. Basically, it starts with having them have a fresh surrender to Jesus. That's where the hope begins to flow into your life. Matter of fact, there's a lady in our neighborhood that I was working here yesterday. Since I had a better attitude, I could come back and do a little. And she was getting her mail, and I was pulling out, and I waved and said hi. And she came walking over to the truck, and we had this conversation. And she said, "It is really hard to find hope today, isn't it?" You need to understand where she's coming from. She's not saved yet, but she's getting closer. And I said, "Well, I know somebody that can give you hope." And she said, "Who's that?" I said, "His name is Jesus." "Oh." And I said, "Can I pray with you right now that God would start giving you some amazing hope for your life?" Who would turn that down? She said, "Yeah, okay." So I prayed. And who picked the songs today? Micah? This is how I started my talk. You know probably who I'm talking about. And this is how I started my prayer with her. And I speak Jesus over you. I said it three times. Not that God needed it, but maybe she needed it. I speak Jesus over you. I speak Jesus over you. I speak Jesus over you. And I'm praying right now in Jesus' name that he would start amazing you with the hope that he's going to start instilling in your life. Now, I know what she's gone through more than anybody else here. She's had a horrible, horrible, rough life. And I can understand no hope. So speaking that, and I finished my prayer, I opened my eyes. Sometimes I close them, sometimes I open my prayer. Open, and she had some tears in the corners of her eyes. I prayed with her three different times that I can remember over the years. And this is what she said when I got finished praying with her. "Can I pray too?" That never happened before. I kind of think speaking Jesus over her had something to do with that. And so she prayed a prayer, and it was a pretty good prayer for a heathen. So God's getting a hold of her heart too. And so we need to speak hope over the kids that are coming to kids camp. And you can speak it over me and any of the other staff too. I'll take that as a compliment. The second thing that Jesus said was, you need to give them peace. Give them peace. And I'm turning in my Bible to a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, because it fits in here about speaking peace. Hebrews 12, verse 2 reads like this. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You mean, he's the one that got that faith thing working in my life. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. It's a perfecter. He's still working with me. Maybe you got it figured out. I'm just scratching the surface. But Jesus is not only the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author and perfecter of our hope. He's the author and perfecter of our peace. I found a verse I've read through this probably 30 times now. I never noticed this before. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 17. And the path of peace they did not know. They have not known. Interesting. See, what came to me when I read it this week was that there's a lot of kids coming to camp. You have a lot of neighbors. I have a lot of neighbors. They just don't even know the path to get to that peace. It involves Jesus, obviously. It involves surrender in your life, obviously. But don't give up on anybody. There was a long time, 19 years in my life, that I didn't know the path to peace. But thank God that he got a hold of my life. I wasn't going after him. He was coming after me. And he brought me to the place where I have peace most of the days, except for Wednesday afternoon last week. There's two verses that I really needed to turn to in my Bible that afternoon when God was speaking to me about those things, about hope and about peace. And I didn't even tell you the last one yet. I'll get to it in a minute. But in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, they read like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody got that down pat? Be anxious for nothing. Some days. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I needed that day. I needed it every day, but that day even more than normal. You know what I'm trying to say? Eddie, how many years have you been a counselor here now? 9. That's amazing. You going to catch up to him? Has there been any days when you needed to have God's peace in your life at kids' camp? Yeah. We all have those times. And if we go to God and ask him for that peace that we need, He'll give you a peace that's just not a temporary thing for a minute. It surpasses all comprehension. And here I was going from totally discouraged, walking off the job, to going home, and getting alone with God, and allowing that peace to begin to come into my life. And it started with that surrender, fresh surrender. If you think surrendering to God is a one-time thing when you become a Christian, you've got a lot to learn. It's not. It's a regular thing. Sometimes you don't need it every day. Sometimes maybe you can go a week doing pretty good, but sooner or later it'll get you. It's time to surrender again, Jess. And you just do it. You just do it. And the peace begins to flow in your life again. The third thing, three things that these kids are going to need. Hope in a hopeless society. Peace when there's not much peace around. And the third one, and this was the most interesting to me, and this will be the one that will probably take the most effort on my part to hear God direct me, and maybe for you too. Help them find purpose in their lives. The only way you can really find purpose is through Jesus. And it doesn't matter what job you have, what work you do. But you have to include Jesus to get the purpose out of it. So if you think going to your job or raising your kids or anything like that, if you think the purpose is getting a paycheck, you're missing it. Your purpose needs to be, God, how can I make you look good today? That's what glorifying God means. We don't use that term anymore hardly, except for some of the songs we sing. But basically, it's making God look good. How can I make you look good today? The little George or Sandy or Harry, these campers all around me. And I'm going to sit next to some campers in the group. I can do that, right? If you're not part of their team, get away. No, but I can still do that and get away with it. And I'm sitting next to this little boy called Neil. And I said, what's your name? He says, Neil. And I said, hi, Neil. I'm Jess. And how's your day going, Neil?
Fine.
Some Neils don't talk very much. But this little guy, I said, do you like that peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I got a big smile, and there's peanut butter and jelly all around his face.
Yes, I like peanut butter and jelly.
So, what do you think God's going to do with you when you grow up?
I don't know.
You think God could give you some hints and put some ideas in your mind if you'd ask him?
I guess so.
Am I doing pretty good? Is that your voice when you were about 7 or 8? Okay. And I said, Neil, why don't you and I just pray right now a quick little prayer that God would start to give you some ideas of what you're to do when you grow up, a job or something like that, but it has to include Jesus, okay? That's the main point. That's the main thing.
Okay.
Why don't you pray first, Neil, and I'll pray.
God, thank you for peanut butter and jelly. And help me to know what I'm supposed to do when I get old like that guy.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you can be creative and you can be open for God to be able to do things like that with these kids. And you're not to be a babysitter. You do sit on them. Keep them running away at times. But the big job is to share Jesus with these guys and gals, okay? That's the big job. And as I was thinking about this, what came to my mind is that You know, there's a lot of adults that never grow up and know what God's purpose is for them in their life. It probably includes their job to a degree, because that got them in a certain type of environment that they can share Jesus with other people. But when I was growing up, we had a coon dog. Anybody know what a coon dog is? Somebody give me a howl of a coon dog. That was a red bone. That's what we had, a red bone. And he was not the smartest tool in the toolbox, but he was mine. Her name was Judy. And we would take Judy out, me and another friend, Louie, and we'd take him coon hunting at night. If you've never experienced that, you're running as fast as you can to try to keep up with that dog in a pitch dark woods. And yes, sometimes you run into trees and try to keep up with this dog. And you'd finally catch up and you find out, you shine your light up there. Judy, there's no coon up that tree. Shut up, there's none up there. Look over there, that's where that coon is in that tree. So I would take him and pull him over, and he would see the coon up there, and then he'd start barking up the right tree. But the thing I'm trying to say is that a lot of people grow up and they never learn God's purpose for their life, because all their life they spent barking up the wrong tree. You know what I'm saying? That was me for 19 years. I knew there was a God, but I didn't want to get that close to him because I had my own dreams and he might just get in my way. I had this fear growing up. This sounds like crazy, but I had this fear growing up. If I'd ever given to God, he would ask me to do something like be a pastor. And that was the last thing I'd want to do. My idea of what a pastor did is they always had to have a collar, a tie. I hate those things. I think the guy that invented those ties had to be deranged or demon-possessed or something. But I was not going to wear a tie the rest of my life. And then their job was to go around nursing homes and visit with 97-year-old ladies every day, after day, after day. That's why I went to Alaska, to become a wildlife manager. But you see, God knows what he has for you, your plans, and what you would be good at, and where he could place you. And God wants to use us to encourage that type of way of thinking with these 180 kids that he's putting in our backyard in a couple weeks, less than a couple weeks. They need hope. They need peace. And they need direction for their lives. It's about 8 after 11. So we have about 7 or 8 minutes at least. We'll take 10 to do this. And before we do this thing, I'm going to just, where you're at, I'll just have you get in a group, maybe 5 or 6 or 7. And I'd like you to really give yourself to pray for kids camp. Because I know God answers prayer. Whatever aspect comes, God, I pray that Jess can read his watch the right time. You know what I'm saying, all those things. But let me throw one other thing in that happened Wednesday night after my lousy meltdown, walking off the job, but then having God correct me, get in my face, literally, and tell me you need an attitude adjustment. And you need to refocus from doing this back to the kids. Wednesday night, I got a call. I was already in bed. I was sleeping. And Marsh hollered up, "Jess, you got a call." So I picked up the phone, and it was somebody I know. And this is what they said, literally. And the person's here, so they'll know it. "What can I do to help you tomorrow?" Guess who helped me on that hillside the next day? Guess who helped me with several other things? Now, isn't that like God? You're frustrated, you're discouraged, you give up, you get that adjustment you need, and then God brings somebody your way to help you do those things you couldn't do. How would you feel if that happened to you, Marty? God, you were just too good to be true. Only he's not. He is good, but it is true. So, Leo, Eddie, you got three people behind you. Go with them, make a little group, sit in front or whatever. You start praying for Kids Camp. Drew and Amelie, you get these three here. Okay, you five, start praying. You got 5 or 6 minutes. Mike and Esther and Alakai, you get Bonnie and Rick back there. Paul and Joel, come on over here. I won't put you with your brother, Charity, but you're going to pray with over here Ken and Sylvia, okay? Charlie, you got four right there. You're a group. Sandy, you can go with that group too. Jeff, you're going to come up here and you're going to pray with Bill and the grown-up Neil and Kim, okay? And you guys over here, you get stuck with this family. Sorry. You're going to pray together, you five. Just quietly ask, what should I pray about for Kids Camp? Whatever comes to mind, don't hog all the time. Just make short prayers for Kids Camp, and then you can move on to somebody else, okay? Lord, give us direction how to pray. Bring things to mind that we'll need to pray about. Allow us to plant hope and peace and direction in these kids' lives.